Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope on Empowered by the Spirit. And, wow, we have two incredible people here, Sister Joanna Strauss and Sister Martha Munoz. They are from the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart, my favorite people, among other favorites, of course.
Of course.
Not to get people upset. But
you're one of our favorites, too.
Every time I see the incredible smiles on their faces and know it's part of your order, I get this huge smile on my face, and I feel this warmth, but welcome to the show.
Thank you
so much.
We had them on the show probably about 180 shows ago, something like that. It was a long time ago, and certainly not in the studio here, and we are at beautiful Christ Cathedral here in Garden Grove, California. Now, tell us a little bit about Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart, because it is a very special one, and it was formed by a very special sister. So, Sister Joanna, you want to kick that off? It'd be great.
Well, our community was started in 1940 by a wonderful woman, servant of God, Sister Ida Peterfee. And that's actually what we want to talk about today. We want to talk about her. She just started towards that first stage, towards canonization, being called servant of God. And we want to make her more well known because I think her life is such a great example of holiness. How she lived, how she responded to God's call, and how she continued to teach each and every one of us.
The title of this show, my brothers and sisters, is Call to Holiness. And all of us are being called to holiness. In fact, if you take a look at the first chapter of Ephesians, it said we are created to be holy, to receive every spiritual blessings. And the Lord is showering spiritual blessings upon us. He's asking us, come to me, come to me. And the word holiness means to be set apart. It means that you are anointed of God through your baptism, through confirmation, through your yes to Jesus. And that's so, so important. Tell me about the society. What makes the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart something unique, something different? Sister Martha?
I'm going to start with what you were saying about saying yes to God and responding to the graces that God gives us every day and through the sacraments. And starting with Sister Ida, because what makes this unique is very much our foundress and how she responded to God's call, and her yes was the opening to all of our yeses. It started in 1939. Sister Ida at the time, Ida Peterfee, 16 years old, and the mayor asked for a children's camp for the underprivileged children of the city of Kasha. Ida was on vacation, beautiful resort town, whole new wardrobe. And she was the youngest of three older sisters, and didn't happen very often that she got a new wardrobe. She got this telegram from one of her scout leaders. She was in the Girl Scouts, and the scout leader asked her if she could please lead the camp for the children of the city. And immediately she said yes. She left it all, and she went, and she began to lead this camp with other Girl Scout leaders. 200, it was a success. The next year she led it again, but after this camp, she went to a three-day silent retreat. And on this retreat, very simply, she heard in her heart God say, "You are loved, you are mine, you are precious." And it was such a profound awakening for her. She knew this, but this was deeper, and that every single person is unique and loved and cared for by God. And her heart and mind went to the children. This is the beginning of communism, Nazism in Hungary. And who is going to tell the children about God? How will they know about God? Because she realized when she was teaching at the camps that these children didn't know about God, and she had to find ways to teach about God that the communism would not persecute the camp or close the camp. And she found ways through puppets, through stick figures, and this was the beginning of her five-step illustrated method, the way we teach religious education. And then when her mind and heart went to these children, the answer, the church will take care of them, no longer fit well with her. She realized she needed to do something, and she heard God say in the depths of her heart, "Ida, you are the church." And on her 18th birthday, with the permission of her spiritual director, Monsignor Pfeiffer, she went into a little Franciscan church, knelt down before the Blessed Sacrament, and gave her life to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise Jesus.
Praise
it was
to
amazing,
you, Lord
yeah.
Jesus Christ. Tell us about the five steps.
The five steps. Those are the ways that we bring the entire person to know and to love God with all the faculties that God gave us, with our mind, with our intelligence, with our imagination, with our emotion, with our physicalness. How do we put into practice the truths of our faith? So she was able to find a way, very simple ways, to bring the entire person to God. And each of our Sacred Heart sisters teach this. We even teach in the seminary in St. Louis, seminarians, how to teach religious education in an inspiring and dynamic way.
Awesome. And what specifically are the five steps? Step one,
the attracting of attention. Get their attention. Find them where they are. Speak to them on their level. People, children, they come from so many different places. We teach after-school program. These children come from school. They might be distracted from their homework. They might be hungry. They might have just had an argument with their parent. They lost their homework. I don't know. There's so many things. So how do you get all these kids coming from all these different places to come to learn about God?
So it's about centering. It's about focus. It's about really communicating to them exactly where they are at.
And that's the first step.
Okay. And
the second step.
And starting on a natural level that's going to move them to the supernatural that we're going to talk about.
Great. The second level, the illustrated explanation. What is the truth that we want to teach them today? What is that one kernel of truth? Is it forgiveness? Is it the first commandment? Is it the Beatitudes? What is that one truth? And then we share about the truth. And we use some kind of visual. It could be flashcards. It could be drawings on the board. It could be a PowerPoint, whatever it is. There's so many different mediums.
And the third point?
The third point is correlating this with their life. And what does this have to do with me? Why is this important? Why is this good for me to know? And then the fourth point, weekly practice. How do I put this into practice? Now what? You just gave me something. I'm affected. It's touching my heart. Now what do I do with this knowledge? And then the fifth step, review and conclusion. Say it one more time, one more way, different way, but say it one more time, that one truth you want them to know. So when they walk out of that classroom and mom or dad asks them, "So what did you learn in class today?" They have that one thought they can come back to.
And it's that repetition that's so important. Yeah. And the average adult learner, my brothers and sisters, only retains 20% of what's said to them at any given time. And within 24 hours, it falls to 10%. And we won't talk about, that's an average, we won't talk about the male species. But let's just say that the bottom line is repetition is so important. Well, these five points are incredibly dynamic.
They really are. And that's where you can see that they were completely inspired in Sister Ida from that camp experience. She was sitting out with the children outside trying. She thought, why just have a great experience of camping? She thought, let's let them learn about Jesus too. So she was trying to tell them a story, and they had no attention whatsoever. They're distracted by the bugs and the dirt and everything. And she thought, what can I do? And she just picked up these two twigs to tell the story of Jesus and the blind man. And one twig was Jesus and one twig was the blind man. And all of a sudden she saw how their attention was completely drawn to those two twigs. And she told the story and they moved and she laid them down and she continued on. And then at one point she picked up one twig, but it was the twig that had previously been the blind man. And she picked up the twig that, and she said, and then Jesus said, and all the children said, that's not Jesus, that's the blind man.
Wow.
And she saw how visually oriented we are, how much we learn that way. And that's really what springboarded this whole method that reaches the whole person. Because it's not enough to just know about God. She wanted each and every one of us to have a relationship with him, to know him, to talk to him. And that's why we put it into practice, so that they're not just, it's not something for a test and then you walk away from it and forget it later.
My brothers and sisters, we are here on Empowered by the Spirit with Sister Joanna and Sister Martha from the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart. And to hear you both talk is the reason why I love to be around you and the reason why I get so excited, because they're talking about a metanoia, a transformation. They're talking about not just knowing Jesus in the head, but knowing Jesus in the heart. We're going to come back to talk about more this call to holiness and how the Lord has called each of you for something very special. It's Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Join Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take our pilgrims to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. And visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
Hello, everyone. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're with Sister Joanna Strauss and Sister Martha Munoz from the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart, and we are being called to holiness. Now, we've talked about these five important steps of learning, of teaching.
Yeah, we call it the five-step illustrated method.
Five-step illustrated method. Okay, awesome. Now, one of the important things that, one of the many important things that you've said, and I could be with you, as I said on the break here, I could listen to you like every single day, like constantly, because the Holy Spirit speaks through both of you and the love of Jesus.
Thank you.
You know, let's talk for a second about the Sacred Heart, because a lot of people don't know and understand the Sacred Heart. So one of you can define what that is, that'd be great.
Well, you know, I think that Sister Ida choosing the Sacred Heart for who our community would be devoted to, it says it all, because she said, well, you know, when you're really up against it, where do you go but the Sacred Heart? So that's why she even chose that we would be dedicated to him. But, you know, sometimes when people think about the Sacred Heart, they think about the image or the heart with the thorns and the cross and what you see in the Sacred Heart. But for us, really, the Sacred Heart is the person of Jesus. Because he became human, he has a human heart, and that human heart loves us so tremendously that that is really who he is and who we love back in turn.
And my brothers and sisters, that passionate love, 1 Peter 1:22 says we are to love each other intensely. As you look at Romans 8, we see that we are adopted children, that we can say Abba, and that nothing will separate us from the love of God, neither present things nor future things, nor height nor depth, nor angels nor principalities nor creatures. Nothing will separate you, my brothers and sisters, from the love of God. In fact, I want to take a look at Isaiah 44. Write these down. Go to your smartphone. Go to your Bible. And Isaiah 43, verse 4, says, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, I love you. My brothers and sisters, you are precious in the eyes of Jesus. You are precious within his heart. You are precious. And before the dawn of time, as it says in Jeremiah 1, before the dawn of time, you were formed. He knew you. He created you to be holy. He created you to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with every spiritual blessing. And the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart is about that manifestation. I'm going to give a special message right now to the men and women out there, but first the women. We're asking right now that you prayerfully say yes to Jesus as to whether or not you're being called to religious life. Because if you are, the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart should be at the top of your list to pray about, and certainly to visit, and to really say, hey, what are they all about? How could I fit in? You know, so many people worry about what they're giving up. And as you look at Matthew 16, it says, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? My brothers and sisters, I will say this to you. I have been an executive. You know, I was responsible for $7 billion in sales and 4,000 people and been president of a company. All of it just pales in comparison to one moment in the presence of God, 1 second in which you see someone's eyes light up, that transformation of heart. Right now, what we're doing through Spirit-Filled Hearts and in collaboration with Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart is more important than anything I ever did in business. So many young people out there, so many young adults, I hear you say, well, I've got to do this. I got to be successful. I got to do this. Success is how much you love and how much you are loved. How you are loved passionately by the Lord. How much do you love Jesus? How much do you love his people?
You know, it's so striking to me that you chose Isaiah 43, because that was one of Sister Ida's favorite quotes. You are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. Another one she really loved was Deuteronomy 7:7. I didn't choose you because you were the largest of nations. I chose you because you were the smallest. And that call that each and every one of us has is exactly that. Sometimes we think, oh, no, it couldn't be me because I'm not that great, or I'm not holy enough. But that's precisely the point. He's calling us to make us holy. I was teaching some fourth graders this week, and Sister Ida had taught me about giving out scripture passages to each person. And this one little girl came running up to me on the playground right afterwards, and she said, that quote that I got, it was so wonderful. I've been praying that I could be happy, and it said, I will make you happy. God just really speaks through scripture constantly to us, and just seeing how his love for us is so great. It's just amazing.
Sister Ida taught us how to pray with scripture in a very personal way. She was a person of prayer herself, and she taught us to see God in everything, both the good and the bad. She would say, we thank God twice, when he gives us the gift and when he takes it back. We thank you, God. And one way she taught us to pray in the novitiate that I remember is taking the Bible, opening the Psalms, and making it personally as if God were saying it to me. God is saying, you are precious in my eyes, Sister Martha, and I love you.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
Put our name into the passage. And same with scripture, the gospel. Read it so that Jesus is reading it as if he was reading it to me personally. I went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when I was filled with anguish, I sat down and I prayed, I knelt down. Another way she taught us to pray is at Mass, when we're at liturgy. Sometimes the words can just roll over us and we're distracted, but when the Eucharistic prayer comes, she suggested, go ahead and say it as in, I am saying this to the Father. Make it personal, that what the priest is saying, I am saying along with the priest, but instead of saying we, I say I. And she said, when you hear the prayer and it says for all over the world, think of where each of our Sacred Heart sisters are in the world and unite yourself with them. Think of all your loved ones, wherever they are in the world, and unite yourself with them. And then she said she really admired the Pentecostals and how they get up and praise God and say, praise you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. You're
sounds
amen.
Like
hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And she would say, you know, why can't we do that in our hearts during Mass? when something priest says something or we hear the gospel, alleluia, I love you, Jesus, amen, praise be God.
Sounds like one of our prayer meetings. but yeah, you know, when we praise God, we are honoring him.
It's
so powerful. You know, what you talked about is so important, and I'm heavily involved in Ignatian spiritual exercises and so forth, and one of the things that they talk about is putting yourself in the scene, right?
Yes.
In terms of that imaginative contemplation. But the other thing is to put yourself in terms of substituting your words and put your name in it. For example, my brothers and sisters, take a look at 1 Corinthians 13. It says love and patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. You put yourself in it. And in my case, Steve is patient. Steve is filled with love. Steve is kind. You know, and just constantly put yourself in it, or put yourself in the scene. Put yourself in the scene listening to Jesus talk about the Beatitudes.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how much he loves us. And the call to holiness, the word of God is the first step. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, I often think of Sister Ida very much as a Vatican II person. Not that she started after Vatican II, but she was so in union with the church and anything that the church ever happened within the church. And even that call that she received, Ida, you are the church, that she heard that in her own prayer, is something that's a very much a thought that came from Vatican II, but she heard it before that. So when Lumen Gentium came out, and the chapter 5 of Lumen Gentium talks about this universal call to holiness that each and every one of us has, hearing the word of God being the first step, I think it's so striking to see that in Sister Ida's life, because yes, her call and her response to like the children's camp was amazing and a wonderful thing, but her whole life was amazing. The way she lived the call that we hear, hearing the word of God, receiving the sacraments, participating in the liturgy, applying yourself to prayer, self-denial, service, and the practice of the virtues, which is what Lumen Gentium puts out for us. She did all of those things throughout her whole life. I remember when I was a postulant, so when I first entered the community, she led our 3-day silent retreat. And I was 17 years old, had no idea what prayer was really or how to pray. And I remember being so amazed when she introduced Psalm 139, you know, that God, you search me and you know me, and how she encouraged me to do exactly what you're saying, put myself in it, hear God saying it directly to me. And it just opened up a new world to me. That personal love of God was so strong in her, and helping us to see then, how do you bring the word of God to others too, recognizing it as his word to us, but also bringing it to those who we teach.
My brothers and sisters, Saint Mother Teresa said that all of us are called to holiness. And we see this now from our bishops. We see it from Pope Francis. We see it from everyone, that being holy is not just for the canonized saints.
Mm-mm.
It's for you, my brothers and sisters. If you're listening to this show, it's because God called you to listen to this show and listen to this part of the show. Remember John 15:16, it's not you who called me, but I who called you and anointed you to bear fruit. Fruit that will remain, so whatever you ask of the Father, I may give you. You have been called. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about the call to holiness. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're with sisters Joanna Strauss and Martha Munoz. They are part of the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart. And we're so thrilled to have them on the show. And we're talking about call to holiness. Part of that call is the yes, that unequivocal yes. And I know Father Ben Tran, I'll give him a little kudos here. When I see him or he sees me, one of the first things we say to each other is, thank you for your yes. So Sister Martha, Sister Joanna, thank you for your yes. Thank you for saying yes unequivocally, unconditionally to our Lord Jesus Christ and to the Sacred Heart. My sisters out there, I know that so many of you, if not all of you, love Jesus passionately. And Jesus is knocking, knocking, knocking. Open the door. Open that door. Asking you will receive. Seeking you'll find. Knocking the door will be open. Matthew 7:7. This call to holiness includes a call to vocation. Perhaps it's being part of the Sisters Devoted to the Sacred Heart. Perhaps it's just giving yourself totally to Jesus and saying, I want to fulfill my purpose. I want to work within the parish. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a volunteer in certain ways. But many of you, and I say many, are being called to religious life. And I think that right now people struggle with hearing that call because the devil gets in and tries to confuse you. The devil
Absolutely.
Gets in and tries to say, oh, no. Look at what you're giving up. And, oh, that can't be. That's not right. But tell us about each of your calls and how you knew it was Jesus and answered that call.
I think mine really comes down to a moment that I went to something that I never wanted to go to. I went to a come and see day that I told the sisters I was only there to make another sister happy. And I heard something that changed my life that day. I heard that God had a personal call for my happiness. And I had just never considered that before, that he knew me, that he loved me individually, and he knew what was going to make me happiest and holiest. And that changed my life because I had been praying for what I wanted, but that day I decided to pray and ask him what was his plan, because he knows me best. And without a doubt, I could tell what he was calling me to, and didn't mean it was easy to say yes to it, but I saw that this was his plan, and I knew I just wanted to do what he wanted because he knew me best. Who was I to think I knew better than him?
Any regrets?
No, none whatsoever. It doesn't mean it was always easy. It doesn't mean there were days that I didn't want to do it. But I actually have been a sister now for 29 years.
Wow. You look like you're 30, so I don't know. You were a sister at one. Unbelievable. So that's amazing. Tell us your story, Sister Martha.
All throughout growing up, I was making plans to go to college, get a good career, travel the world, and do good for society. I wanted to go to a good university and make good money and then spend it on good causes. In my senior year of high school, I knew deep down in my heart I was not asking God, what do you want for my life? And one of the sisters invited me on a retreat with other young women, and I hesitated. And she saw that, and she said, you know, I'm going to take care of the retreat. You just show up. So I did. I showed up. And I could tell my heart was closed, and I was making plans for college and which college I wanted to go to. I wanted to go into either broadcasting or law or politics, perhaps lobby for the little guy. And on this retreat, one of the sisters asked me, Martha, I think you have a call. What is it going to take for you to realize that God is calling you? I said, oh, sister, maybe like in 8 years. And yeah, I could see that possibly. And she said, no, I think God is calling you now. I said, well, sister, if God is calling me now, then he needs to ask me. And she said, well, it doesn't happen like that. I said, well, if God really wants me, then he will ask me. And she said, well, I will pray for you. And I thought that was the end of that. When I came home from the retreat, one day I was helping my mom in the kitchen, and all of a sudden I experienced this very amazing, powerful, yet gentle presence. And I didn't know what it was. Actually, I didn't know who it was. I excused myself from helping mom. I went to my room. I closed the door, and I immediately knew God.
Wow.
And he was all around me, in me, an experience I will never forget. And he said, follow me. And I said, Lord, I don't know the first thing about following you. I'm only 18. I'm so immature. I don't even have a college degree. What about our plans for the future? What about helping all these good people? And he said, but I love you. Well, what about marriage and doing good for society? But I love you. Everything I said to him, he would respond, I love you. And I couldn't argue love. And then I said, yes, Lord, if this is your plan, then lead me and guide me, because I don't know the first thing of what to do. And I waited a week before I told a Sacred Heart sister. And then she said, you know, call me in a month. I didn't tell my parents because I knew they would not respond well to this. And in order to throw my parents off, I applied to one college and one college only. Meanwhile, I got a 4-year scholarship to any college of my choice, room, books, housing, everything. I got accepted to USC, and it was wonderful, and I thanked God, and I knew I'd already said yes to God.
Hallelujah!
Yes. So that September, instead of going through the college doors, I went through the convent doors, and I entered the Sacred Heart Sisters. And I am so grateful that God was able to come to my heart and speak to me, because like you said, there are so many distractions out there. I was involved with school. I was a cheerleader. I had lots of friends. I was involved with the community, doing good works for people. And that God was able to come and talk to my heart at 18, that is incredible. And I said, yes, that's a grace from God.
Any regrets?
No.
And it has been fabulous.
Yes.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:16. And it talks about when a person turns to the Lord, a veil is removed from them, a veil from their eyes. And the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit is, there is freedom. When we gaze with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord, we're then transformed into that image. You have received, a number of you, this nudge right now, this nudge to enter into something very special. Perhaps it's the priesthood. Perhaps it's becoming a sister, religious life of some kind, vocation of some kind, saying yes to Jesus. But let's assume for a second you're a young lady out there and you're interested in finding out more about Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart. What do they do?
Call us, Sacred Heart Sisters. Find us on the website,
sacredheartsisters.com.
And we also have a retreat coming up ourselves at the Heart of Jesus Retreat Center in Santa Ana, Southern California. And it's 3 days, December 27th. 28th. Thank you. 28th, 29th, and 30th. We do cap it about 20, 25 young women, ages like 18, late 20s, early 30s. And it's a way to experience God, but also to get to know us. There's about 13 sisters that are present. And interestingly, that retreat came about because Sister Ida went on a Curcio retreat and she loved it. She thought we could do something like that for young women. And so we made it our own. And then we now call it the Sacred Heart Leadership Retreat, because it helps young women to become leaders, not just with the tools, like how to be a better speaker, but more from the internal. How do I find confidence in God and within myself?
And how do they register for that again?
Again, go to sacredheartsisters.com and go to the, on the bottom section of that front page, you'll see contact us and choose the option that says leadership retreat. And then you can fill out a form and it's that easy.
Yeah. Come to any of our convents. We will welcome you on December 10th at the Sacred Heart Novitiate in San Fernando Valley, Chatsworth. We're getting ready for Christmas, setting up a Christmas tree, making Christmas cookies. They can just come and join us. Be part of it.
We all want to fall in love. We all want to have love part of our lives. There is no greater love than the love of Jesus. There's no greater love than receiving that love, that passion of Jesus. Part of your order of your society is a retreat center, I guess, a camp in Big Bear.
Mm-hmm.
As summer camp, correct?
It actually runs year-round.
Year-round. Okay. So I went in the summer.
Yes.
So that's why I called it a summer camp. And I experienced something there that was so overwhelming to me. I felt so much love and so much joy. And I came back from it, and I called some number and got one of the sisters. May have been you. Who knows? And I said, I just couldn't believe. I just felt this intense love. I've never had that before. Could you explain it to me? And the sister at the time on the phone said to me, you touch the hem of his garment.
Mm.
My brothers and sisters, as you're listening, perhaps you now have had that touch of the hem of his garment. That hem in which you get so much joy. You radiate, as these sisters do in front of me, radiate with the love of Jesus. Nothing can compare to that. It's not what you're giving up. It's what you're getting. And what you're getting is Jesus.
Right.
You're saying yes to him. Yes, the spiritual gifts. So when you get this nudge, when you've touched the hem of the garment, and some of you have in listening to this show, contact their website one more time.
SacredHeartSisters.com.
SacredHeartSisters.com. Come to the retreat December 28th to 30th, or just show up and get more information at one of their sites. You'll never regret it. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back as we further talk about the call to holiness. We're back again on Empowered by the Spirit. We've been talking about the call to holiness with Sister Joanna Strauss and Sister Martha Munoz, the Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart. And I'm so excited because I know there's so many miracles happening. I have to give a plug. Get my book, Expect and Experience Miracles, on Amazon. And it's the holiday season here. Get a whole bunch of those books and give them out as gifts because people love them. And you can get it on Amazon, Kindle, and also Barnes & Noble, too. Part of what definition of miracle is God's intervention in our lives. And that's really what holiness is that when we say yes to Jesus, we connect with him. And there are seven steps, and Sister Joanna mentioned them quickly. We've been talking about the Word of God and the importance of that. The second step is the sacraments. It's not an option to go to daily Mass. I realize you may not make it every day, but there are Masses all throughout the day. There are Masses in the evening. There are Masses early in the morning. If you really are serious, there's a 6:30 Mass out there that you can make. And don't tell me you can't make it. You can make it. There's a 12 noon Mass out there. And I know it took me a while for my spiritual director to say, Steve, are you serious about this? You've got to go to daily Mass. It's just absolutely critical.
It's so true. It makes such a difference. When I entered the community, I actually didn't realize we went to daily Mass. I never thought. I was 17, so I wasn't really thinking about anything like that. But the difference that has made in my life since then in being able to go to daily Mass, I remember Sister Ida once wrote me a note, and she said, count the number of times you've received Jesus in communion. Doesn't it just tell you how much he wants to be one with you? Even if you're only going weekly, how many, you know, if you count up the number of times you've received him, just amazing. And she loved the Mass. I remember as a young sister going to Mass with her, and she always wanted to sit in the front row because she's not going to make Jesus wait. You know, sometimes people are like all worried if the person in front of them didn't move yet and waiting. But she would go right away to go up to communion because she wasn't going to wait, and she didn't want to make Jesus wait.
Amen.
She shared about the covenant that God makes with us in giving us his body and blood, that people can break their word, break their promise. People can get married and one day not be married. People can be religious and one day not be religious. She said, but when God gives himself completely and totally in the Eucharist, in his body and blood, he will never go back on that. You can't separate that. You can't go back into your body and take it apart. It's already part of you, your cells, your heart, your mind, everything.
My brothers and sisters, the sacraments are gifts. They're gifts from Jesus to us. Mm-hmm. Say yes to those gifts. You'll never regret it. And one of those gifts is reconciliation. When we talk about holiness, we talked about coming to grips with our own brokenness, our own sinfulness. And the whole idea of, well, I haven't killed somebody, so therefore I don't need to go to reconciliation, is not true. Meaning the fact is that when you go to reconciliation, you receive special graces to be stronger, to ward off the enemy, to be holier.
Mm-hmm. Sister Ida talked about how with a friend, when you're a close friend with someone, you don't just say, I'm sorry, like once a year to apologize for all the times you've hurt that friend. She said, you would feel pretty often. You would talk about something. Something didn't work out, you would talk about it. Same thing with God. Jesus is our best friend, a friend that is better than any other human friend we can have. So why would we go once a year just to say sorry, but to go frequently? Something's not right. Something's amiss. And I brought a quote that Sister Ida said about forgiveness. She said, "With great trust, we frequently approach our Lord in the sacrament of penance, that he may forgive us, heal us, and renew us in his love. When our sins are forgiven, God casts them to the bottom of the sea." Just try to recover something from the bottom of the sea.
Awesome. And you'll never regret it again. I mean, you walk out of reconciliation feeling on top of the world. And find someone that you're comfortable with, a priest that you're comfortable with. There are just tons of them out there that are fantastic. They're loving. It doesn't matter how long it's been since you've been there. Mm-hmm. They're welcoming you with open arms. Number three is participate in liturgy. Could you explain that?
Vatican II talked about that active and conscious participation. And Sister Martha mentioned earlier about the being sort of Pentecostal in our prayer as we listen to the prayers of the Mass and being able to interiorly respond in that way. I think that so much speaks of Sister Ida in that too, but she always wanted to sing, you know, even if you don't have a great voice, to go ahead and sing and participate in what's there. And it doesn't mean you have to be a Eucharistic minister or a lector, which are great, but to be fully present. I think that was one of the greatest gifts that she ever taught me about anything, is to be fully present wherever you are, with who you're with, but especially at Mass, so that it's not about the entertainment value. Sometimes people think that that's what, when they go to Mass, if the music's not so good, then, oh, well. But that's not what it's all about.
You know, I love Handel's Messiah. I realize that's not sung during Mass too often. But Lord of Lords, King of Kings.
One of our sisters, Sister Adrian, she's our superior in our convent in St. Louis. She directed Handel's Messiah before she became a sister.
Oh, I got to meet her.
Yes, she had a PhD in choral music.
Oh.
And she is brilliant to this day. And as a postulant, as I think a novice, we went to her concert.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, it was
gorgeous. Hallelujah. My son gave me a CD of all these different versions of Handel's Messiah. But anyway, yeah, participate in the liturgy, prayer. Make sure that you get before the Lord. Try to get that holy hour. Very, very important. Self-denial. Tell us about that.
One of my greatest examples of self-denial happened with Sister Ida's first companion. And when you first hear the story, you're thinking, how is that a story of self-denial? But you'll get it at the end. So Sister Hermine, this was during wartime in Hungary. She was studying for her PhD, and she said the only thing she could think about was chocolate. It was hard to study, and but they didn't have money even for most food, you know, at the time. So she would get distracted, and so she thought, okay, I'll take a walk. And she would take a walk, and she would walk down to the street to the pastry shop. Well, that didn't help, you know. All she could think about was sweets, sweets, sweets. So she wrote Sister Ida a letter to tell her how she had no willpower and how this was distracting her. She got a letter back from Sister Ida, and she thought, good, Sister Ida's going to reprimand me and tell me, yes, that you were right to tell me this, and all of these things. When she opened the envelope, what fell out of the envelope was equivalent to $100 at the time, with a note that says, use this for sweets. And at first you think, well, how is that self-denial? Well, knowing what was going on at the time and how difficult it was to get food, I don't know what Sister Ida had to do, what she had to deny herself to be able to provide for Sister Hermine, to give her such a great gift that she wouldn't be worried, that she could study without anything hindering that study. I mean, Sister Ida was always lived very frugally anyway, but in that situation, to be able to provide that much was just absolutely amazing. And Sister Hermine, to this day, still tells that story. Sister Hermine's 98, and she still tells this story of the great love that was shown, which is what self-denial is, giving for another, you know.
When I entered the community, Sister Ida was diagnosed with lymphoma. And she was going through radiation and chemotherapy. She lost all her hair, but she always wore a wig. She always wanted to look her best for us. And we were given a 3-day silent retreat. And normally, Sister Ida would give that retreat. But because she was going through heavy, intense chemotherapy, her body wasn't that great. It was suffering. And she was, gosh, in her 70s at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided she was going to give us the retreat anyway. And that, in fact, that same summer, I didn't know this, but she gave a 30-day silent retreat to our sisters. Four of our sisters. And then she gave us this postulant retreat. Even though she wasn't feeling well, she wanted to teach. She wanted to give us the love of God. And same thing with the novitiate. She was going through different treatments, but she still taught us once a week.
And this is the active service, you know, living out your passion, living out your charisms, living out your gifts.
It's true. Even the day she died, she was going to teach the sisters that day.
Awesome. And then the practice of virtues.
You know, Sister Martha and I were talking about this last night, that Sister Ida was such an amazing woman. And the more I look at her life, the more I am inspired by it. I knew her as a young sister, and sometimes I think I took for granted how great she was, because she was just so amazing. But her example of humility in particular, she's the foundress of our community. She did some amazing things when she was a young person, but continued to. And then for many, many years, she could have done almost anything, but she taught us.
My brothers and sisters, you are being called to holiness. I want to thank both Sister Joanna and Sister Martha for being on the show. You've been awesome.
Oh, thank you.
The Society Devoted to the Sacred Heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you and worship you and glorify you. We thank you, Lord God, for entering our heart unconditionally and loving us unconditionally. Help us to say that unequivocal yes. Help us to give our heart, our soul, our mind to you each and every day. We ask a special blessing upon all of our listeners, that they be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, that they be blessed in every way through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Amen.
All. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.